Welcome to another edition of the Kids Zach Podcast, ladies and gentlemen. Thank you all for once again tuning in for today's episode. This is a great day today on this Tuesday afternoon. Shooting on Tuesday afternoon, guys know I normally upload it the next day, however, whatnot. But yeah, I'm having a great day today. And of course, I got my co-host here once again with me. DJ, how's it going? Talk to me.
I'm good. I'm a co-host now.
You got to look, he got a title now, guys. He got a title, man. Co-host. You know, when I went to school, I was busy. I didn't even do a show without you. Look at that. And that's what
I didn't think you did a show at all when you was at school.
That's what I'm saying. I didn't do a show at all. But you know, I was very busy this past semester. So, co-host here on the show, DJ. And I guess until he doesn't want to be anymore, but, until he starts asking for pay or something like that. And then I have to
lose.
I'm like, well, I guess I'm going solo. No. But yeah, we're here on Tuesday. You said you're doing all right?
Yeah.
All right, man. We got a, as I always say, a jam-packed but yet very exciting show today, guys. A lot of stuff has happened this past weekend, and I got to catch you guys up on it, man. So let's dive right into it on some of the topics we'll be discussing today. Julio Jones, ladies and gentlemen. Julio Jones has officially been traded to the Titans. Does this make the Tennessee Titans Super Bowl contenders? DJ will tell us what he thinks about that pretty soon. Also, LeBron James and his Lakers were eliminated. I believe it was game 5 or game 6?
6.
6, was it?
Yes.
They lost 4-2. Yes, right.
Yeah.
Game 6 of the first round in the Western Conference, not finals, but in the Western Conference, it wasn't that. So, question is, who should the Lakers add this upcoming offseason for them to keep contending for championships while LeBron is still playing? New Jersey Nets. Is that right? Or Brooklyn Nets?
It's the Brooklyn Nets.
Who's New Jersey? Wait.
They
used to be New Jersey.
Yeah.
Okay.
It's funny you say that because Justin, he just told it. When I talked to him the other day, and I think we brought up Vince Carter about the little post that you showed me. Is it just, 22 years of running and jumping? Well, he said that he brought Vince Carter to his, he said his little cousin or whatever. But he said, and he was talking about, back in Vince Carter when he played with the New Jersey Nets.
Yeah.
And he was like, the New Jersey Nets? Who was that? He was like, the New Jersey Nets, you know what I'm saying? Yeah. Jason Kidd, you know?
Right, right, right.
He said, I don't know nothing about that. He said, man, you making me feel old.
I mean, I remember New Jersey Nets.
I
still want to call them New Jersey, but they're Brooklyn Nets, guys. They're up 2-0 on the Milwaukee Bucks. And this is pretty embarrassing for the Milwaukee Bucks. But we're going to talk about the wins that they have. And I'll tell you guys the actual stats of those two games right there. Does this say more about the Nets or more about the Bucks, the fact that the Nets are up 2-0? Ice Trae Young, Atlanta Hawks' very own, guys, has been balling out in these playoffs, guys. And right now he's in the semifinals against the Philadelphia 76ers. Just beat them in game 1 on the road right now. So I guess the question could be right now, can anyone stop Trae Young and everything that he's doing right now? Is he stoppable at all? Like, can you just slow him down? That's all I want to know, the way he's been playing. Phoenix Suns defeated the Nuggets 122-105 in game 1 of the semifinals in Phoenix, Arizona, guys. Chris Paul puts up 21 points, 11 assists, and 6 rebounds. So does this mean Chris Paul is back? I'm sure DJ had plenty to say about that. And we'll end it off a little bit, final thoughts on the Mayweather and Logan Paul fight. But without further ado, I'm extremely excited, man. You ready to dive into the show?
I am.
Let's do it. We're going to start off with DJ's very own Tennessee Titans, but let's also start off with DJ's very own, I guess, former Alabama Crimson Tide, actually. Yeah, Julio Jones. DJ's an Alabama fan. That's where Julio came from, and DJ's a Tennessee Titans fan. So, hey, it's a match made in heaven, I guess. However, Julio Jones was traded to the Tennessee Titans, so I believe a second round and third round pick to the Tennessee Titans right here, man. So a lot of fireworks here from guys like A.J. Brown, who's clearly been trying to get Julio for the longest. He's willing to give him. Derrick Henry as well, you know what I mean? Another Alabama native or whatnot. And so, let's just talk about the Titans here, at least the last 2 years, right? So, you guys won the division last year. You tied with the Colts, but you guys won it, right? Mm-hmm. Went 11-5, and y'all lost in the first round against the Baltimore Ravens, which was not yet, I believe. And the year before that, prior to that, you guys went to the AFC Championship, where at least up two scores. I want to say, I could be wrong.
I forgot the score, but yeah, it was something like that. Yeah, on the Kansas City Chiefs. Although I knew it wasn't going to hold, though, because the quarterback on the other side of the field, you know.
It's all world. Yeah, he's all world talent. And you guys, you was literally one game away from
the Super Bowl.
Yeah. So you guys are right there. And last year, you guys were still contending. You just ran into a Baltimore team who really wanted revenge on you guys from the previous year or so. So you guys are definitely a contender, but now you've added Julio Jones. So you got Julio Jones, you got Derrick Henry, you got AJ Brown. You guys did lose Corey Davis or whatnot. But man, are you guys now officially Super Bowl contenders with Julio Jones?
I'm gonna say this first. We actually had a chance to win that game from last year. Tannehill threw a pick, you know, and then they got it back, ran the clock out. But anyway, I think it makes us contenders. We're definitely competing, you know what I'm saying, way more, you know what I'm saying? And, you know, you got to give teams, you know, who are willing to make moves like this credit, because you can't stay stagnant. You can't stay just good enough. You gotta add, you know, pieces. You got to add players, you know what I'm saying? And you know, of course, it might be. I think I heard Ryan Tannehill restructured his contract to bring in Julio. I think it makes us a contender 100%. You got to have the players to be able to compete. You know what I'm saying? Unless you like the New England Patriots and you have the greatest of all time, you know, playing quarterback. Other than that, you know what I'm saying? But you have to put together the piece. You look back at a couple years ago, L.A. Rams, when they were getting, you know, Ndamukong Suh and all those free agents that they brought. I think Fletcher. I think it was linebacker. All those free agents that they brought in, you know, they were rewarded for it because they went to the Super Bowl. Now, they didn't win it, but they went, you know what I'm saying? So, you got, you know, when you're aggressive like this, you know, going after players, you're rewarded for it, you know. Hence Green Bay, you know what I'm saying? Don't do stuff like this. They haven't been rewarded in years, you know. Yeah. So it makes us a contender. So, yes, I'm happy with it.
Yeah, definitely. I would say you guys are a contender. And for you guys who don't know Julio Jones, I'm sorry about that. He is a 7-time Pro Bowler, one of the NFL's top wide receivers. He got drafted. He helped lead the Crimson Tide to 14. You guys went 14, no, did you? 2009? It says right here you guys went
2009?
Yeah. He helped lead the Crimson Tide to undefeated 14-0 season.
I'm thinking about the Titans. Yeah.
I don't know. My fault. Yeah. 6'3", 220. I mean, right here, just give you a couple of his stats. I'm going to give you his career stats. Right now, he currently has 848 receptions, 12,896 yards. Touchdown-wise, guys, he has 60 touchdowns so far in his career, and he consistently breaks record. And a lot of people know him as well from that game he had against the Panthers. We had like 300 yards on that cornerback, and then they fired the cornerback. To be fair, it wasn't that guy's fault. I mean, come on. You just put him in one-on-one the entire game. Like, come on. Anyway, yeah, it definitely makes you guys a contender. I mean, you guys still got some gaps, which I think every team does. Nobody has everything, but I think.
Yeah.
Anybody has anything, I think it would be like the Rams. That's who I think got a lot. But anyway, you look at you guys, I think you still be run base with Derrick Henry. Right? Yeah. You got Mike Vrabel, his defensive mind, which is good. And then you got A.J. Brown, and then you got Julio Jones. Now, Julio doesn't have to be, like we talked yesterday, he doesn't have to be Julio of his prime, right?
No.
Just enough.
75% Julio is good enough.
That's all you need right there. You know what I mean? And I think you guys can definitely be put in that AFC Championship game again this year. Okay, when I talk about Super Bowl contending, when I talk about contenders, just to name a few teams out of the AFC, I'm talking, of course, the Chiefs.
Yeah.
I'm talking the Bills. I really like the Bills. Now, I know it's going to sound crazy to a lot of people. I'm putting the Browns up there this year, too. I don't know what. I just feel something with them. And I'm putting you guys up there as well, right? Yeah. So that's four teams, but who's going to carve out of those four to become the two, is going to carve out of that two to become the one to go to the Super Bowl. And you guys have the absolute chance this year. I think if you guys do what you were doing anyway, put Julio in there, and you'd be just fine. I think this would be. But let me tell you where you can mess this up. Right? I told you this, I was going to tell you. And I don't know if I told you already or not. I probably did. I think there's two people that can mess this situation up. And I think one is Mike Vrabel. I think he's a great coach. Right? Yeah. But I think he can definitely mess this up. I questioned a lot of his coaching decisions last year when you guys played Baltimore. It'd be literally like 3rd-and-1, right?
Yeah.
He'd be in the shotgun. And he would take Derrick Henry out the game. And right. And he did it a bunch of times. And I was just like, what are you doing? And here's the thing. I know Derrick Henry, everybody put 9 in the box. Okay, here's the thing. When you got a player like that that demands that much attention, you can do a number of things, right? You can hand the ball. You cannot hand the ball. But eyes are going to be on him. And when some eyes are on him, that means somebody's left open or some gap is somewhere. And you don't just take him off the field. That right there, coaching-wise, I was like, kind of, you know, I don't know about that. But he needs to
do nothing else, he'd be a distraction.
Yeah, you know what I'm saying? Like, you need to at least, these guys aren't just the ones you're always going to get the ball to. They need to be distractions as well for other guys to get open. And my last one where y'all can mess this up is Ryan Tannehill himself. Now, if I can remember correctly, last year in that game, y'all had a chance to win it. Mm-hmm. And he threw it to, I don't remember who the receiver was.
And that's the bad part about it. Number 14.
I'm sorry. I don't know who you are, man. I know you worked hard to get there. But somebody else was open. Was it A.J. Brown? Was open AJ, out wide. Open.
Yeah.
And he forced it in coverage in the middle of like a window, I believe, to this guy. I don't even blame the guy he was throwing it to.
I don't even think he... He didn't even go through his reads.
He didn't go through the reads at all.
He couldn't have, because I know that guy wouldn't have been the first read.
No way.
So he had to have been thinking, okay, that part of the field going to be open. Because he stared him down from the moment he snapped the ball. He didn't even go through any other reads. So.
And that's what I'm saying. Like, you know, you got to be smarter in a situation like that. You guys could have won the game and went on to the next round. You know what I mean? Things like that. So, I think he's going to have to make a smart decision. Now, I give you credit. Ryan Tannehill has really bounced back since the Miami Dolphin days.
Yeah.
He was arguing with folks about throwing picks against the scout team and all that. He's really done. He can run, too. I didn't know he could.
Yeah, a little bit. Yeah.
You know, he used to play receiver. I think this is what he's used to. Yeah. So,
like at Texas A&M.
Yeah. So, I would say, though, for him, just because you have Julio, don't try to do too much. Don't force to him. Like we talked about the other day, Julio's a guy. Hey, you know, move and just throw it to him. You know, he's not going to ask you to. Just be yourself, Ryan Tannehill. You have a lot of talent around you. Trust that Mike Vrabel this year is going to put you in the best situations possible. You got the best running back in the game in the backfield, went for over 2,000 yards. You got one of the best wide as Hall of Famer in Julio Jones and one of the best up-and-coming ones in A.J. Brown on the other side, who, if you've seen him on social media, he's ecstatic to have who's his idol, actually. So it should be an amazing match for all of you guys. But it's going to be based off Mike Vrabel and Ryan Tannehill when it comes down to being smart, making the right play, making the right play call, and doing the right things. These guys are going to ball out regardless. You just got to let them do what they're going to do. That's it. Ryan Tannehill, get the ball to your playmakers and get out the way. You know,
I give it more so towards Ryan Tannehill, simply because as far as the other teams that were competing to go to the Super Bowl in the AFC, as far as quarterbacks, he's ranked last.
With
all of them. Baltimore, Kansas City, who else? Buffalo Bills. Mm-hmm. Like out of those teams, when it comes to quarterbacks, he's ranked last. Mm-hmm. So that's what worries me. So my thing is, you know, he's got to be. What pushes us forward is this year. I know people say, you know, it's all about Derrick Henry. Well, yeah, the offense is based around him. Yeah, I get that. But as far as who's going to lead us to the Super Bowl, I'm going to be worried if it's Derrick Henry. You know what I'm saying? I want it to be Ryan Tannehill being, you know, putting the team on his back. I'm happy because I feel like you're only going to go as far as your quarterback. I don't remember the last time where a running back was the main reason why, you know, a team won the Super Bowl, at least not here recently anyway. Yeah. So I want Ryan Tannehill to be the one that lead us there. You know, not Julio, not A.J. Brown, not Derrick Henry, not even Mike Vrabel. I don't even think I said Vrabel, but Ryan Tannehill. So.
Yeah, I mean, that's important. I mean, we're going to see, but like I said, I definitely put you guys in that top four, and we'll see how it plans out. So congratulations to Tennessee for getting Julio. Congrats to Julio for being in a better situation now.
Yeah.
Let's see how this thing works out. I'm extremely excited for both Tennessee and him to see how this thing pans out. Hopefully, it's not like Odell in Cleveland.
I don't think he will, because be like that. when he came in, it was understood that that he was going to be the number one receiver. Julio's not going to be the number one receiver. He's older. He done made his money. He ain't got to prove to the league what he can do. Everybody know who Julio Jones is. Yeah. You know, so he coming in be like, you know, I just, like you said yesterday, I just want to add my sauce to this soup. You know what I'm saying? So he coming in, he wants to help out, wants to win, you know. So I don't think it's going to be anything like Cleveland. You know, anything. It's understood, you know. The offense starts with Derrick Henry. In the passing game, AJ the number one, Julio the number two. You know what I'm saying? So he probably going to get put in the slot a little bit. That'd be kind of dope.
That'd be cool as well. Move him around a bit and whatnot. So going from football to basketball, King James himself, LeBron James and the Los Angeles Lakers, like I said earlier, were eliminated in game six of the first round in the Western Conference. To be fair, though, Anthony Davis went down in game, was it five or four he went down?
I think it was four.
Four? I think. Might have been, because it was like right before halftime. Uh-huh. Oh, yeah, it was four, and he didn't play five, and then he tried to, okay, he tried to play game six, guys. It was horrible. He should have never been out there. He couldn't move or anything. So, therefore, the Phoenix Suns went on to win the series 4-2. But now it leaves question marks, you know. King James, LeBron James is getting older, you know what I mean? You see fatigue setting in and whatnot. So, off-season additions for LeBron James and his Los Angeles Lakers. So, I think a lot of guys they got now, they're definitely going to have to move out of there, you know. Yeah. I just say this and I let you go. I didn't like how they moved Dwight Howard and JaVale McGee. Those were two huge pieces. And Rondo, you know, I mean, Rondo, you may not have been able to keep him though, because he kind of, you know, makes his mark, goes from here to there. But Howard and McGee, I think they should have kept them. They should have gave them at least one more shot to run it back. You know what I mean? I don't think they did that. But what do you think? What offseason additions, just early additions, you think right now at the top, even bold predictions, I mean additions, you think the Lakers should get this offseason?
I think, first of all, I feel like you have to first figure out which direction you're going to go. Now, when I say what I mean by that is, you got, I feel like you got two directions. You can either go into the direction of, okay, LeBron is going to be the point guard or point forward, whatever you want to call him going forward. And what we're going to do is we're going to surround the team with good quality role players. You know what I'm saying? Some players that we actually had to go out and actually pay some real money to come over, you know, to the team to play.
But you put him at the point guard position?
Huh?
That's a lot of, that's a toll though, putting him at the point. What about getting the point guard and letting him play free? Because that's what he did.
That's what I'm saying. Well, that's what I'm about to say. Two different ways to go. You can either go that route, you know what I'm saying, with the two superstars, everybody else are good role players. But right now, they just got role players, good role players, you know. Or you can go the route of, okay, I need another star because AD can't take over for LeBron. That's just not what it is, right? So if you go that route, I feel like, you know, one free agent that pops up, actually two, either Damian Lillard or you got a Bradley Beal. I know Bradley Beal. Well, actually, both of them, quote unquote, call themselves lawyer. But, you know, it's only so many times you can make the playoffs and have early exits where you start getting fed up.
Yeah.
So, Damian Lillard and Bradley Beal. Now, you get Damian Lillard. Actually, to be honest with you, both of them ain't great defensive players. But
Bradley Beal can play some defense.
The thing about Bradley Beal is Bradley Beal plays the two. So that would put LeBron at the one, you know what I'm saying? Which is where he naturally wants to be anyway. He wants to create for others. So he would love to be able to create for, you know, Bradley Beal, get him his shots, and then AD, you know what I'm saying? That's where he's at, his natural. Or you can get Damian Lillard, you know, of course, he's got to naturally be the one, and then LeBron just plays a small four. It just depends on which direction you want to go for the team, you know?
Mm-hmm.
So as far as, you know, LeBron with him aging, I feel like it's probably best to go after Bradley Beal, let LeBron pay them one, let him average 22, you know, 8 assists, 9 rebounds a game, whatever, 10 rebounds a game, you know, just let him coast through to the end of his career versus him playing a 3, you know, so which he can do it, but, you know, I don't know. I don't think this is what he wants to do. I think he wants to naturally just be a playmaker.
and create for others. So
yeah, I mean, you look at it in that game six when everybody was like, LeBron's gotta be aggressive. He's gotta go back to the games with Miami. He went against Boston, and you know, the whole meme with him making that face and stuff like that. And you know, I've heard you say a time before, you know, that's just not who he is. You know what I mean? He can give you that, but it's like every time you expect LeBron to give you 50, he definitely not going to give you 50. Yeah. You know what I mean? Just whenever he wants to or whatnot. But yeah, Bradley Beal would definitely be key. You know, and you look at Damian Lillard, who just had an early playoff exit again, and they fired their coach as well.
Yeah.
And then he publicly says he wants Jason Kidd as a head coach. Jason Kidd removes his name from, and I'm like, what is going on over there?
I mean, you can get Jason Kidd, but I mean, not going to say a coach isn't important, but Jason Kidd not going to be out there playing with you.
Yeah, I mean, it's true. So, I mean, yeah, like, he's not. It's the pieces you need to put around you. And I thought Terry Stotts did great what he could do with the players that he had. You know what I mean? But let's be honest. Before I talk about the addition for the Lakers, for Portland, nobody wants to really play at Portland. You know what I mean? Nothing against it. And I get Damian Lillard wants to be loyal and whatnot. But we're not going to KD the situation if he goes to Los Angeles and plays over. We're not. You know, we're just not going to hold him to that standard and say, bro, you went over there. Okay. Because the direction of Portland is going nowhere. Okay. 2 years ago, they're in the Western Conference Finals, right? Remember, against the Golden State Warriors with no Kevin Durant. Right? And they get swept 4-0, right? Like, because you're like, whoa, they're in the Western Conference Finals. They got a chance to go to the finals. And there's no Kevin Durant. So it's guard on guard. It's Lillard against Steph, and it's McCullough against Klay.
Yeah.
And they didn't make it happen. And then you got last year, they get a first round again. And then this year, they get out again. And you look at it, they play against the Nuggets with a squad who didn't have their point guard, Jamal Murray. You know what I mean? And it didn't even matter, you know? So something's got to give there. So Damian Lillard is definitely, I think, at the top of the list. As far as looking like that, you have to make the money add up. But if you're the Lakers, you're a team full of stars. So make it work. You know what I mean? That's just my thing. Lakers don't get people for the future, clearly, right? They traded the whole future away when they gave away Lonzo, Ingram, Hart, and those guys, and for some reason kept Kuzma.
But that's how they've always been, though.
Yeah, they go straight for the titles. I'm thinking, figure this out. Like, I talked to Dad about this, and he was like, no, you know, they can't make the money. Right. Yes, you can. You're the Lakers. Figure it out. You're about championships.
I mean, if Brooklyn got enough money to get Harden and Katie and Kyrie contracts,
make it work.
Yeah.
Okay, but you talk about other players, your side people. I did some of my research. I looked up a couple guys. I see you got Chris Paul is another one at the top of the list. Because, you know, Chris Paul turned down a $44 million extension, hoping to get I think he wants to get the $100 million deal with the Suns or whoever. Mm-hmm. So he turned down a $44 million player option. Now, that would be based on if the Lakers, if he's willing to take a pay cut with the Lakers.
Mm-hmm.
To go win a championship. And I think Chris has made a lot of money at this point as well.
Yeah.
So there's a chance, if you don't get Dame, right?
Yeah.
You can get this guy. But this guy, Chris has got to be willing to say, hey, you know, because remember he had this opportunity before he signed the extension with the Rockets. And remember you said, oh, he's never going to win one now. And he has a second chance again.
Yeah.
To do this, if he just say, hey, listen, we're much older, but all three of us together, we can make this work. And I definitely think they put some right back on the mouth. What a point guard like Chris Paul.
Yeah. That's the only thing you would have to ask yourself is, because, I mean, I know both Chris Paul and, you know, LeBron. Well, Chris Paul anyway. You know what I'm saying? LeBron's been the center of attention every team he's went to. But at that point, you had to ask yourself, okay, well, I mean, you got to let Chris be the point guard. LeBron would have to be, you know what I'm saying, a small forward. But with Chris, I don't think LeBron would mind.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. Because I think he would trust him, you know. I mean, if anybody, I think, yeah, he would trust with that guy. Like, he's better friends with him than apparently Dwayne Wade. But on the court, like, you know how bad both these guys want to win.
Yeah.
You know, and then you got your three stars. You got Chris, you got LeBron, and then you got, you know, AD. And then there you go. There's plenty of leadership here. You know, and like I said, LeBron, like you said, he wants to be a playmaker. But if you just let him roam free, Chris would give him the ability to do that as well. Other guys, I didn't really think about it, but once I saw it, I was like, hey, that kind of makes sense. Reggie Bullock, I think I'm saying his name right. Yeah, from the New York Knicks. 3-and-D guy. 3-and-D guy. Played out of this world, in my opinion, you know, this postseason right here. And it was pretty amazing with a lot of stuff he did. Like I said, 3-and-D, and that's what LeBron's all about. He won't gas the 3-and-D guys most of the time, right? You know, mm-hmm. that's what he looks for. He can kick it out. They hit the shot. They come down the court, play some defense on the perimeter. That's what he wants. I think Reggie Bullock would be a huge addition for this team in the offseason. And I'm going to go back to what I said earlier. JaVale McGee, Dwight Howard. I know Dwight Howard would probably be available, honestly. Go back and get at least one of these guys. I don't know if he
signed a one-year deal, a two-year deal with Philly.
Well, go get one of these guys. I know Dwight gets into a lot of trouble and doing extra stuff on the court. Not trouble off the court, guys. But like far as like just doing little petty stuff and whatnot. Go get these guys. They were a force in the middle. JaVale McGee got much better once he went to the Warriors. He wasn't on Shaq and the Fool anymore. And then from then on, he was a valuable asset to the team. Go get one of these guys. Because Marcus, he can spread the floor. But, I mean, he ain't holding it down on the inside. Andre Drummond, the big penguin, you know, he didn't do what he was supposed to. And I don't even know why y'all did Montrezl Harrell the way y'all did Lakers. Like, you gave him like 6 minutes in the postseason. You killed his confidence. This is an athletic big who will do anything. He can scrap you always. And you just cut his minutes, Frank Vogel. I don't know what the deal was there. So if you're not going to play him, go at least get you a big or something to help this team out. Because that's exactly what you guys need. Somebody down in the middle to hold it down as well. And especially with AD in and out, line up, things like that. You're going to need somebody else to hold it down. Not like AD, but at least be
unless in the interior. I mean, if you're going to go bigs, then you know you still got Cat out there. You know, he over in Minnesota not doing nothing.
But you think you can get Cat and like a Chris Paul or Damian Lillard? You have to pick one of the
other. Oh, well, no, you can't get all of them.
That's what I'm saying. Well, yeah, that's what I'm saying. So, like, okay, let's do this. I know you can say Damian Lillard over Chris Paul probably. If you had a chance.
Damn. Talent-wise?
Yeah, if you had to pick. If you like in the GM with the Lakers, okay, then you got a chance to get Dame Lillard or Chris Paul, who you get? You're going to pick Dame. So what about if it's Dame or Cat? Because I like Cat, but I already got a guy like that.
Probably Dame Lillard.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying.
Because he's a ball handler, you know.
Yeah.
And, you know, that's what you have to have in a star in order to win, I think, anyway, you know. So, because he's a ball handler. So, yeah, I'd go Dame Lillard.
And Anthony Davis isn't a cat, but, like, you already got one of them guys like that. I mean, you can get, like, Twin Towers down there, but, like, you still haven't solved your issue. When we thought Rondo solved the issues at point guard last year when LeBron came off the court, Dennis Schroeder, I'm sorry if I'm not saying that, he didn't do that this year for them. Like, he didn't solve that problem. For them, that was a huge issue. So I'm going to go Damian Lillard and find me a big that can clog up the lane as well for the Lakers so they can continue contending. Now, that being said, before we move on, you look at it, you know, Klay Thompson does come back next year being that hopefully he comes back healthy. He hadn't had played basketball in 2 years. He had the ACL tear, I think it was, and he tore something else in rehab trying to recover, like get back on the court. So just assuming he comes back at least 70% of what he was. You got James Wiseman, remember, who was getting a lot better until he got hurt. You know, you got your full roster with the Warriors, so that's an issue over there. You got Jamal Murray going back to the Nuggets. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? So, and you got the East one we're finna get into talking about the Nets. So it's not gonna get any easier. You know what I'm saying? But you're just trying to add pieces to help you out. So, I mean, Lakers, y'all definitely have to make some moves, and them being the Lakers, they're known for big time free agents, things like that. So we'll see what they make happen. But on to the Brooklyn Nets being up 2-0 on the Milwaukee Bucks. Now, when I say 2-0, this wasn't just any basic 2-0. Game one, the Nets beat. First of all, let me say this. James Harden hurt his hamstring within like the first couple seconds or whatnot. So you're thinking, oh, well, you know, just maybe, you know, Milwaukee. Mm-hmm. Now, the final score was 115-107. But that's just because at the end, like, the bench players hit some shots and things like that. Okay, Giannis put up 34 points. Brook Lopez put up 19. Jrue Holiday, 17. Chris Middleton, 13. But they couldn't buy a basket from the three-point line. They couldn't do it at all. It was absolutely pathetic. You look at the Nets. Durant had 29. Joe Harris had 19. Blake Griffin had 18. Irving had 25. And Mike James had 12. Blake Griffin played like he was back at Los Angeles. My God. Mm-hmm. If he plays like that, they're winning the championship. I think they're winning anyway. But it's ridiculous. He was all on the ground. He was catching oops. He was just slamming. He's playing good defense. And so I'm thinking, okay, game two, the Bucks will definitely bounce back. Because that only makes sense, right?
Yeah.
And they lose 125-86. They play even worse. The biggest lead, I think, was like 49, like 50 points. How are you getting beat 50 points in the playoffs? With a full squad, full healthy squad that at that. And I'm going to give a couple of their stats, and then I'm going to let you talk. The Bucks stats, yes, last night, excuse me. Giannis had 18 points, 11 boards, whatever, double-double. P.J. Tucker had 2 points. But, you know, he's not really a stat guy anyway. Lopez had 10, Holiday 13, Middleton 17, Forbes 10. And you look at Kevin Durant and these Nets. Durant had 32 points. Joe Harris had just 13. Irving had 22. Griffin had 8 boards, 7 points. And he had a poster on Giannis as well. Mike James had 10. Bruce Brown Jr. It's just a complete effort from this team. But it's very embarrassing to see a team lose like this. And what's even worse for me is that we lost to these people for nothing in the first round. And they getting dogged like this with the reigning MVP. Wasn't he the reigning MVP? Giannis and Defensive Player of the Year? And he got crossed last night by Durant. Listen, so I'm going to just go ahead and ask you, does this say more about the Bucks or the Nets?
I think it says more about the Bucks because, I mean, everybody expected the Nets. I mean, as soon as they got James Harden, everybody gave them the title anyway. So everybody expected them to blow through the playoffs. But
yeah,
I think it says more about the Bucks because, I don't know, they've been doing this, you know, for the past couple of years. You know, and you know what, I think I'm starting to realize, well, I've already realized it. And if they lose this series, everybody else will realize too. Giannis is a two. Right. You know, not a two guard, but you know, he's a two as in, you know, he's not the leader, you know, number one guy on the team, you know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
That's not who he is if they lose this series. Now, he says that he ain't worried about it. The thing that you should be worried about is the fact that, not necessarily that you lost, but the fact that it wasn't competitive. At least the last time you was on the floor when it was not competitive at all. You know, it wasn't like you lost a nail biter or nothing like that. But I feel like you want to get back in this thing. First of all, you got to get physical with these guys. You know what I'm saying? With KD, Kyrie, you know, because they finessing you right now. So you got to get, you know, and then KD and Kyrie are very emotional. You know what I'm saying? They're about like women. They're very, very emotional. So you have to get physical with them. Got to get inside the head, talk a little trash. You know, got to get them off their game. You know what I'm saying? Now, some people, you might do the opposite. Well, you can't keep continuing doing what you're doing now. Because obviously that ends up working. So you got to get physical. Giannis, you know what I'm saying? You got to get in there. PJ, you got to get in there. You going to foul them? Foul them.
Yeah.
Make sure they know that they've been fouled. You know what I'm saying? Hitting the ground, all that type of stuff. You know what I'm saying? But you got to send some type of message. You know, you want them to think twice next time, you know, Kyrie, you know, drives into the paint. You know, you want him to be a little timid next time going, that's what you want. But yeah, it says way more about the Bucks, how far they haven't come.
Yeah. So. I mean, yeah, but I'm going to say for me, the Nets, because I, like I told you, I picked them to win the championship. You know, my Heat clearly got eliminated. But, you know, I'm picking them to go to the championship and picking them to win it, however. But I don't think they can do this just to anybody. But I do think they can definitely pose their will on any team with the two guys they have. You know what I mean? So say they definitely win this series, in my opinion. And they go on to play the Sixers or the Hawks. I think they wouldn't do the same thing. But I definitely think there'd be some games that beat them by 10, 12 points.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? But right now, this is just showing you, like, yo, you guys talk about we didn't play this many games together and whatnot. Yo, we know what we're doing when we step out here. Basketball is basketball, and we're familiar with one another off the court, things like that, you know, practicing. We haven't had all the chemistry together, but we're definitely building it now.
Mm-hmm.
And that's a scary thing because it's not even at full strength yet. And they're beating teams like this 125-86 or whatnot. And like I said, they're finesse players. You know what I mean? You got guys like Blake Griffin who's getting scrappy and things like that. DeAndre Jordan ain't even playing a single minute in these last two games. Nothing. He's supposed to be the interior force and whatnot. And he's not even playing. And you guys are getting beat like this. You can't get nothing in the inside. Giannis can't hit a free throw. Okay, that's the issue. Chris Middleton isn't making all those big-time shots. Drew Holiday isn't doing much. Nobody's doing much. And the Nets be like, yo, well, if y'all not going to do nothing, we just going to attack and have fun. You know what I mean? You got guys like Mike James and folks like that, just like 30 years old as a rookie from overseas is stepping up and making big-time plays right here. And I'm just saying, I feel like the Nets can do this to any team they go up against in this mm-hmm. Eastern Conference and in the West at this point, honestly. I mean, they're just going to – this is just – when these guys want to play, there's nobody that can stop them. When I say these guys, I mean KD and Kyrie. Yes, they're very emotional and all things like that, like you said. But when they want to play, they will absolutely kill you when they go play. You talk about that killer mentality, that sass mentality like Kobe and Jordan. KD got all that. Never seen somebody who can just pull up, drop 40 real quick, head back to the crib, get back on Twitter on his burner account. You know what I mean? Same thing with Harden. Everybody like, bro, Harden's out of shape. Drop a quick 40 real quick, go back to the crib. You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. Kyrie burning sage in arena. I'm not talking to the media. Drop 50, going back to the crib. And you combine it together. This is what you get. They're taking it over. Right now, they are the favorites. Now, far as the Bucks go, everybody said, well, you know, this year, you know, they ain't got their pieces. They're going to step up and whatnot. You know what I mean? Well, it's evident, like you said. It's evident, just like you said, that they can't take this next step yet, you know, with Giannis. Well, now, you say he's a two, but even if you're going to be a two, even if you're going to be a two, Giannis, please shoot free throws. Make free throws, okay? We're about to talk about Ben Simmons, trust me, on free throws, right? He's got to get better with his game if this is what he wants to be. If he wants to stay in that number one spot, you have got to... You got to get your game better, and you got to win series like this, bro. Like, people are literally notching you down. Like, you know Durant, but you're definitely getting knocked out of the conversation now of being up there with him and LeBron and whatnot after these performances. And, it's okay, you know. No, it's not okay. But moving on again, staying with more basketball right here, because, man, I had a lot of fun this show, guys, talking about basketball and sports. It's been a lot going on here lately. So let's talk about the Atlanta Hawks and the Philadelphia 76ers semifinals matchup. Hawks are at the 76ers. You know, Trae Young, once again, doing his thing right here. Let's give you a little stat, a rundown of the Atlanta Hawks real quickly. The winner of that game was the Atlanta Hawks, 128-124. Right there. So I'm going to give you a couple rundown of stats before DJ goes on here. So let's go Trae Young first. Amazing as usual. Had 35 points. Assist-wise, he had 10 assists. You know, he's able to find anybody on the court like that. Boban, 21 points, right? Amazing three-point shooter for the Hawks. It looks like I'm like Charles Barkley at this point. Whenever he shoots, it looks like it's going in every time. I don't know. It's just something about Boban, right? Clint Capela, 11 points, you know, but he really, you know, enforced his will, I'd say, with the boards, with 8 defensive rebounds at that. Was pretty amazing. John Collins, 21 points. He's great at what he do. He plays amazingly off of Trae Young. Solomon Hill, 6 points. Moving to the 76ers side of things, you got Joel Embiid, the star player, 39 points. Tobias Harris, 20 points. Seth Curry, 21 points. Ben Simmons, 17 points along with 10 assists. Can't forget that. As well as, I'm going to say his name wrong, Matisse Dabula. Oh, I'm sorry, I'm really messing up his name. He's a key part of his team, too. 10 points for the 76ers. Now, let me say this before anything. The Atlanta Hawks played probably the best 44 minutes of basketball that they played this entire season. And then you turn right around and they had the worst 4 minutes of basketball that they could play this season as well. That's why the 76ers got back into this game. But the question I'm asking here is about Trae Young. He imposed his will from the start of this game, right? Yeah. There was no doubt. This guy is amazing on the road. And that's very rare for a young player like him. He's amazing on the road. He's almost like better on the road than he is at home, right? Mm-hmm. I don't know. But he's ready for the moment, definitely, right? So can anybody stop Trae Young? If you're the 76ers right now, what's the game plan on Trae Young? I know you like Trae Young, that's your guy. But your game plan against him now. So can he be stopped? And if you're Doc Rivers, what adjustments are you making to slow down Trae Young?
I don't think he can be stopped. You know, I mean, unless you can just you know, stop him, you know, from making threes, which you can't.
But, you know, I think he can be slowed down. So I think that the best, you know, point of action is
I think you have to keep a body on him at all times. I think not only that, but even when you're on defense, I think you have to make switch. I think you have to run your plays through him. So that way he's working on offense and he's working on defense, you know.
So keeping, like I said, keeping a constant body on him, even if it's just, you know what I'm saying, a little bump here, bump there, you know, as the game goes on, that he's getting bumped on the other side too, because all, you know, eventually that's gonna wear and tear on him.
Well,
know?
They threw a couple guys, and I remember they threw Danny Green at him. I think Tobias was on him a time too. Maybe George Hill was in there a couple times on him as well. But I mean, it just, you know, it didn't really work. Now Ben Simmons did say in the post game conference he wants to step up and take that challenge and guard, you know, Trae Young. Yeah. So I mean,
it's either that or you just double him every time he gets the ball and just try to get the other guys to beat you. You know what I'm saying? If you want to go that route, just every time he gets the ball, even if he gets the ball bringing up the court, just go double him. You know what I'm saying? Somebody's going to get a wide open three, but it's like, would you rather them take it or rather for him to take the three? So,
yeah, I mean,
take your pick.
Right, right. It's like kind of like pick your poison, but I think in this situation, like, you know, the Atlanta Hawks have been shooting pretty well like the entire playoffs. So I was like, man, do I want to take that chance? Just because these guys can get hot and they can make shots. I just talked about Boban, right?
Yeah.
John Collins, right? And it's like, man, do I want to live with that? Him assisting and getting the ball to them or him taking these shots? I'm probably going to say I'm going to live with them taking it. Because at one of these nights, they're going to have an off night, right? Yeah. When they lost to the Knicks, like, it wasn't a completely bad night. But, you know, they weren't shooting it like they normally do, right? And I'm going to build on that, right? Right. And those times that I don't double them and get the ball out of his hands, I'm going to let Ben Simmons take that challenge if I'm Doc Rivers. I'm going to say, you know what? In my opinion, you're our second best player on the team, you know, whether people agree with that or not. Take this challenge. You're amazing at defense. You know what I mean? Go out there, body this guy up. Use your length and size on this guy. Don't do the speed thing because, yeah, he got you there, right? But get in his airspace, clog up those lanes and whatnot. And listen, if he makes some shots, he makes some shots. He's a great player. Great players make big shots and things like that. But make him uncomfortable, right? Make him have to work their ball around. Make the Hawks, Nate McMillan, figure out something else. Draw something else up on the board, right? And I think Ben Simmons is very capable of doing that because he's an extremely great defensive player. I don't know if we said it before on here, but like he can do just about everything. But shoot. You know what I mean? Shoot. Yeah. And make free throws. And I think he has the ability to make Trae Young uncomfortable, right? Like I said, Trae Young still is going to get some shots. But think about it. Ben Simmons is what, 6'7"? 6'8"?
He's 16.
Is it 16? Is it something like, you know what, let me check right here. Because I want to be sure. I want to be sure. Let's see what Google says. Ben Simmons is 6'11". Okay. So, right. And Trae Young's with 5'11". You have it right here. Let's just look it up. 6'11". Okay. Trae Young's
6'1". Yeah.
Trae Young has never been defended by somebody this tall, far as I can know. You know, him even back playing at Oklahoma and whatnot. He ain't been defended by nobody like this. 6'11". You know what I mean? He's used to shooting over tall guys. But think about it. It's off the pick and roll. He gets his space, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
You're putting Simmons out there to get into his space. You know what I mean? You can't see what you can't see. I relate it back to, you know, Kyler Murray. Guys that are vertically challenged, right? We I know it's not the same, but you look at Kyler Murray in football. Amazing, right? Clearly he belongs in the NFL. But you still have your cons as well. Throwing the ball across the middle field. It's been plays I watched Kyler Murray, and he just couldn't see, right? And he just throws it. You know what I mean? It doesn't go in like, you know. He has to take that extra step back to get the ball because he can't see. Chris Paul, Hall of Fame point guard. He made it work for him, right? But he still has issues, too, having to shoot over folks and things like that. And Trae Young will have that same issue, you know, vertically challenged, but not still an amazing player. But you got a 6'11 guy who can move like Simmons, who can actually move his feet, play good defense, be smart with Trae, because he will draw fouls on you. This is the matchup Doc Rivers needs to put on this guy and win game two tonight, actually. It's Tuesday, guys, so they need to win game two tonight, and I think they can. Simmons plays good defense on him. And B comes out there to play like he did last time. Steph Curry, you know, it's my favorite play. You know, little bro, you know, that's love too. Steph Curry, you know, we got something in common. He a little brother, I'm a little brother. You know, he's been playing amazing.
Yeah.
He's really came into his own. No, he's not Steph, but who's asking him to be? He's one of the premier perimeter shooters in this league today. I want this series to go 7 games. I really do. Truthfully. Right?
He doesn't.
You know, and I want to say the Hawks, but I'm going to be honest. The 76ers got to pull this out so they can go play the Nets in the Eastern Conference Finals. That's what we want to see right there. Nothing against that. Because I think if this team makes it to the Eastern Conference Finals, being the Atlanta Hawks, they're going to get smashed. Mm-hmm. You talk about finesse, right? Trae Young's a finesse guy. Oh, the inventor of finesse is Kyrie Irving, right? It's Kevin Durant. Ooh, if James Harden is healthy, this team will get smashed. Yeah. So 76ers, make the adjustment. Bring Ben Simmons in to guard this guy. He will pick up fouls. It's going to happen. But you got to win this series. I'm telling you. You guys will match up better against the Nets than these guys will. So, Trae Young, keep doing what you're doing, man. Keep shooting the basketball. Put the pressure on the 76ers to step up and come take the game from you. Because right now, man, you're having all types of fun. And you're doing whatever you want to right now. Yeah, so, you know, this show's been straight basketball today, guys. And, you know, I'm going to say by far one of the best performances that I saw this past weekend was actually Kawhi Leonard when they won Game 7, you know, mm-hmm. and what Luka's been doing. But the Clippers advanced as well, guys. But Phoenix Suns, they beat the Lakers. Amazing performance. They beat the Lakers in Staples, you know what I mean? Chris Paul finally getting the shoulder healthy, you know what I mean? DJ's favorite player. I'm glad to see him doing better, right? Big game last night against the Nuggets. If you guys remember earlier, we talked about the Nuggets do not have their star point guard, Jamal Murray. I think he tore ACL or something like that earlier this year. So he's done with for the entire playoffs. And, you know, last night, the Phoenix Suns defeated the Denver Nuggets in a great battle, honestly. The score doesn't really tell it to me if you ask me. It's been a close game throughout all the way. Phoenix Suns defeated the Nuggets.
Yeah, like you said, I think like 14 of them came in the fourth quarter.
How'd you do that?
Do what?
Ladies and gentlemen, DJ just did some type of magic.
The wind is blowing it.
Wind blew. Okay, I thought he had like attracted the the water bottle off the table with his hand. Anyway, guys, back to what we were talking about. An explosion in the fourth quarter from Chris Paul and these Phoenix Suns. And it looks like everything, I don't know. I mean, I need to knock on some wood or something. It looks like everything is starting to come together for this team. But my question right here to you is Chris Paul back? And when I say that, is it the guy from this past break, not the Chris Paul from New Orleans and all that stuff? Is he the guy he was before he got his shoulder hurt and whatnot? And how dangerous can this team be when he is healthy?
Yeah, I think he is back. And
I feel like they can be as dangerous as going all the way to the finals with this team. Honestly, I think they can beat Denver.
Yeah.
Who's another series? I think they can beat Utah, you know. And I think they can beat the Clippers, simply because they got the leadership. They got the assassin when Devin Booker, you know. They got quality role players, you know, and they play with energy. I don't know if you noticed or not, but when the Phoenix crowd is like it's almost as if like the Golden State Warriors crowd
a couple years ago. It was crazy.
They generate a lot of energy in that building. So in the team within itself plays with a lot of energy. You know, they're young, they're hungry, you know what I'm saying? You don't have to worry about them taking nights off, you know, because they're gonna play hard every possession. They're going to play hard every possession. So, I think they can be extremely dangerous, you know, assuming Chris can stay healthy, which you would assume he would going forward since he done already got, he done got the injury out of the way, you know, being hurt out of the way. You know, Devin Booker is coming to his own, emerging to, you know, the superstar he was, you know, meant to be, you know, he's coming to his own now too, you know, and, I think this team can take it all the way. I think they can take it all the way.
I mean, yeah, sky has the limit, always. Well, as the great Michael Jordan said, the ceiling is the roof, you know? Yeah. As he said, oh, but it's so beautiful to see him out there in that court doing what he does. Like, they call him the quarterback and the point god, right? You know, I don't give – nobody else gets that nickname but Chris Paul. You talk about a guy who's always been against the odds. The guy's like 6 feet tall. And I was like, you know, you look at guys like him and Allen Iverson. Mm. Like, dude, if they were like 6'6", my God, right? But it's so good. It's so good to see him out here doing this with his team. Like you said, Devin Booker coming into his own. You know, and we said this. When they got Chris Paul, he was going to push Devin Booker into that next level, right? Where we knew he could be. And that's exactly what he's done. But we also found other stars as well. Like DeAndre Ayton, I didn't expect him to play up like this in this moment. The way he played last series, you know what I mean? Against some of the Lakers bigs.
Well, another thing about them is their cornerstone stars, which is Booker and Ayton.
Yeah.
They're not rookies. They're not second-year guys. They're veterans. They're not old veterans. And they've been doing this for the past 4 or 5 years. So, they've learned. You know, they're not going through their learning stages anymore. They're coming into their own now. They understand the ins and outs of the league. So it's not like Chris Paul is babysitting out there, you know. So
yeah, I mean, like you said, he's not babysitting. In the interview last night, post game, they talked about the team. And he was like, you know, what the surprise of what you guys are doing is what the reporter said. He was like, I wouldn't say it's a surprise. It's just folks who finally getting the chance to see it. He was like, I mean, we knew it. Booker can be, right? And he's like, I've seen Mikal Bridges in practice. And he said, this is just our team just finally coming together. And that's why there's a second seed. Mm. And this is what I like about it. I'm going to throw Utah in here for a minute. Because Utah is the first seed.
Yeah.
Phoenix is the second seed. And this year, LeBron had injuries. AD had injury, and they had the seventh seed. And everybody automatically, remember, you know, even I, Lakers going to beat them. You know what I mean? And, you know, most times the best teams, the best players get the higher seeds. And that's what we always say back in the day. If the Lakers or whatever team LeBron was on, the Cavs had the first seed, they're definitely going to beat the eighth seed. But when these other guys start getting it, they're up and coming, like Donovan Mitchell and the Jazz and Chris Paul. Not Chris Paul. From Devin Booker is like, our seed means nothing now. We try to down. No, show these guys that seeding still does matter. Because I decided to play this night. I built more chemistry with my team opposed to you sitting for rest, you know what I mean, and having to figure out the rotation when you get back in. So seeding still does matter. They're playing like the 2 seed. And with Chris Paul like this, hoping he stays healthy, they'll win the series. Now, the Nuggets. I have a frat brother who is a Nuggets fan, right? Yeah. And you know, we discussed this beforehand. I told him, I said, I don't know how the series is going to go. It's all about how healthy Chris Paul is, right? I said, but you guys not having Jamal Murray, at some point in time, I don't know if it be this series or the next series, it's going to come into play. And, hey, I guess it's here, right?
Yeah.
Because that's their tempo pusher. He knows how to slow it down, get everything. You know, those pick and rolls with Jokic. He runs those things. You know what I mean? There's no replacement for him in that situation. You know who does have that? The Phoenix Suns with Chris Paul.
Mm.
So I look for them. I think tomorrow night they play again. To win game 2. They should. That crowd we talked about, just take a 2-0 lead. Do what you're supposed to. You know what I mean? You're going to go to Denver. That's a pretty good crowd there. You know, but I think the missing factor is them having their point guard right there. They got a lot of size over Phoenix, though, is what I do notice. You got Austin Rivers, got good height. Aaron Gordon, Jokic, Millsap. You know, he's kind of a bulky-looking dude. You know what I mean? They got a lot of size on Denver. Phoenix, they got the general, right? They got Devin Booker. They got 3-and-D guys all over the place. And if you get DeAndre Ayton meeting the challenge against Jokic, this you know, you got to pick the Suns in the series. Because Ayton is not shining from this moment at all. I'm very shocked, yet happy for them. So, sky's the limit for the Suns. I want them to go to the finals. I want to see a Western Conference Finals of the Jazz and the Phoenix Suns. I want the Suns to go. Whoever goes is going to lose anyway. You know how I feel. I mean, I'm just saying. But I think it'd be better with the Suns going against the Nets more so than the Jazz going against the Nets, honestly. I just don't think Donovan himself can handle that challenge. I think it'd be better to see a Chris Paul and Devin Booker against a Kyrie and a, you know, Kevin Durant. You know what I mean? Maybe a healthy Harden, got eight, stuff like that. I don't think the Jazz fit into that. But Chris Paul, Suns, keep doing what you're doing. It's definitely a beautiful thing to watch. You know, my favorite player isn't in there this year. You know, he's had his spotlight, you know, for, you know, a couple of years, you know, Steph, three rings, you know. But it's Chris Paul's turn to go out there and get that. You know what I mean? DJ has had to a lot of times watch Steph, you know, get there and win that and me be excited. But hopefully it's his time now for Chris to come and do his thing. And I'm excited for that as well. So we come to the end of our show. You know what I mean? It's been an amazing show so far. You know what I mean? But let's talk a little bit about just a few quick takes before we go. And we're going to start adding this in, just final takes on certain things. So Mayweather-Logan Paul fight was an exhibition. No rules. No, I mean, you had rules, but no judges. Knockouts were allowed. What did you think?
I was kind of shocked. Well, not shocked. I'd say surprised. Mm. Only because, not that I doubted Floyd's skills or nothing like that, but if it was the size factor to me, you know, that's what it was to me. But, you know, Floyd, you know, pretty much showed that the size doesn't matter. You know, he boxed them as if he was boxing anybody else, you know, mm-hmm. in his, you know, weight class or whatever. So apparently, I know Logan Paul said that, you know, he's going to show Floyd that weight and size meant something. And apparently not in this bout, it didn't. So, but I give, you know, Logan Paul props. I mean, he got out there. He did his thing. You know, he didn't embarrass himself or anything like that, you know. So, you know, but at the end of the day, you know what I'm saying, Floyd is proven, you know, when you're great, you're just great. It doesn't matter how big, doesn't matter how small, how fast, how slow. When you're better than everybody else, that's just it. You're just better.
Yeah, so. I mean, and there you have it right there pretty much. I mean, and you talk about boxing, right? Let's real quick reflect it on football and basketball. Talk mm-hmm. about matchups, one-on-one, right? Say, let's go like a Julio, right? Julio can have a one-on-one situation with him in a corner, right? And he can be definitely better than that corner.
Yeah.
But if the quarterback can't get him the ball, it's not going to happen. Yeah. Talk about basketball, right? LeBron's amazing passer. He can kick it out, have the most beautiful assist. If that guy in the corner doesn't make it, which this year they weren't, it doesn't matter, right? Yeah. Boxing, this is something you can decide for yourself. On how you don't have to rely on anybody but you. So if you lose, it's on you. If you win, it's on you, right? Props to Logan Paul. Like, that size and weight, it may matter, but it didn't matter in this fight because he didn't use it at all, or he didn't know how to use it. One of the two.
Yeah.
Honestly, I don't know what he was doing. I expected something different. I was like, he's going to, you know, I thought he was going to really, you know, he was good, but he wasn't, you know, he didn't use that size and weight. I think Mayweather definitely, whether he says or not, I think he tried to knock him out. It just, it wasn't happening, you know, but that's okay too. Like you said, he had fun and he got a check and whatnot, things like that. And we wanted him to knock him out. Well, you look at it, Mayweather normally never knocks anybody out. I think he TKO'd Conor McGregor, I believe.
Yeah, I mean, his career, he's got 27 knockouts.
Oh, he do?
Yeah, that's what it.
But he's known for, like, defensive fighting.
Yeah. So, but I think a lot of them came when he was younger. So
yeah, definitely. Yeah, like he mentioned at the end of the fight, he said, this is how he says, like, I'm 45 years old. I'm not a young man anymore. I had fun. You know? Just like he said it. But shout out to Floyd. Logan Paul, I mean, you know, a lot of people said they wasted their money. Even some people was like, I didn't even pay for it and I want my money back. You know, a lot of people was cracking jokes, but, you know, it was a little entertainment for Sunday, whatever. Now we move on. Now you got upcoming weekend. You got these YouTubers versus TikTokers.
Yeah.
So that should be funny and interesting. But I want to say something about the boxing, too. A lot of people say, you know what, these guys are hurting the sport and things like that. You know, but then we reflect back on gun violence and killing folks, right? Mm-hmm. So take this boxing away. Say if they weren't doing this, you know, and people on social media, you know what I mean, Twitter fingers, and they take it to the street, and they fight, and somebody gets hurt. Then that's when somebody pulls out the gun. Then somebody, you know, YouTuber such and such was killed, you know what I mean, more so than, you know what, I'm about tired of this. Let's make money off this while I beat you up or you beat me up. Let's take it to the ring. No, we're not professional boxers, but this would definitely be entertainment for somebody.
I think they do that. I think they say that because, you know, not necessarily that, but as far as trying to compete with UFC, you know, when it comes to boxing, trying to bring boxing back to what it was.
Yeah.
You know.
Well, like they said, promoters. This need to be some of the promoters. They not giving us the fights we want to see.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? So these other people who are entertainment people, this is what they do, strictly entertainment, well, why don't we go box? You know what I mean?
Yeah.
You're not giving us the fights that we want to see. You know what I mean? So it's so much. That's why UFC, MMA, I can say, right? UFC and whatnot has emerged so much. A lot of times you see the fights you want to see. Yeah. And that. But boxing, we can't see if we want to. Yeah. We got to pull folks from social media to get, you know. So I think that should be some on the promoters. Get these guys the fights they want. Get us what we want to see. And we'll pay and we'll see these fights. And we want to see some actual boxers, right? Aaron Rodgers, not at minicamp. Mm-hmm. Big thing, nothing.
I think it's a big thing. I think he's trying to be petty. I don't know. I mean, as far as a big thing, not as like the temperature in the room, you know, how things are going to be handled once he gets back. Not necessarily because he needs to be in minicamp or nothing like that, but, you know, the fact that he's skipping it and, you know, he's openly on vacation, you know, whatnot, it just shows you that, you know, his head isn't with the Green Bay Packers. And, you know, that's not a good way. For you to, you know, start off your season, you know, or, you know, you don't want your leader to be half in, half out,
right?
You know, so, you know, I don't know what the Packers did to get to this point. Well, yes, I do. They drafted Jordan Love, you know, not necessarily them drafting him, but they drafted him as high as they did draft him or whatever. So, I don't know what they need to do to fix it. I don't know if they need to give him some more money or whatever it is, but if Jordan Love is ready to play, you need to do whatever you need to do to fix it. Because he is the franchise at this point, and you can only blame yourself because you don't sign free agents. So
definitely, do not sign free agents. But I think it's nothing. It's minicamp, right? I think I'm just not looking up. I think Adams isn't going to be there neither or whatnot. But I think we start worrying if he doesn't go to training camp. Then I think it's okay. Now you got to hold out on, you know, on the horizon or whatnot at that point. I think it is more money. But how this can be a good thing for the Packers is getting Jordan Love ready, right? Yeah. You getting the first team reps and whatnot now. Now, I've heard stories coming out, whatnot. I've been watching some of the shows and something about he wasn't good in the two-minute drill. I heard it was like a 4th and 7. He threw the ball over the guy's head and, you know, he's struggling or whatnot. But he needs reps. That's very true. Every rep he can get between now until training camp, if Rodgers decides to come back, you know. And if, you know, you're the Packers at this point, yeah, like you said, do whatever you got to do to get this guy back. But will anything you do be enough? Because that could have, I feel like it's possible they could have been in burnt their bridge already with
if that's Aaron the case, Rodgers. Then you move on. You move on from the bridge.
I mean, yeah. I mean,
if you burnt it, if there's nothing you can do, then, you know, you have to move on. You have to trade him.
Trade him and just go with Love. See what you got.
Me personally, no. I would trade him to Houston and get Deshaun Watson. That's what I'd trade him for. Because I'd rather deal with that mess than to deal with this pettiness.
And Aaron Rodgers
pissed. At least with them, I can pay some people off and everything will be okay.
He's definitely a petty guy. But I don't think you worry until training camp. Right now, Jordan Love, bro, get these reps. Do everything you can. Listen to your coaches. You're going to make mistakes. Don't worry about the media. What I don't like, though, before we go, is that I heard that they didn't let him talk to the media. Now, that's an issue.
Yeah.
That's an issue for me. Now, you saying he can't speak for himself? Because I remember last people that did that was with Trubisky. They didn't want to let Trubisky. And we, you know, see how that ended up happening. So don't let him speak for himself now. Let him talk. You're a grown man at that point. But Jordan Love, take this time. Get all the reps you can. Get as great as you can. And just do everything you can. I don't know how this is going to play out. But like I said, training camp is the time I think you would worry then if he doesn't show up. But we'll see how it all pans out or whatnot. But thank you all so much for tuning in today. You got any last comments? Where is DJ?
No.
Nothing?
Nothing.
Nothing. All right. But yeah, so guys, make sure you tune in to NBA playoffs. Also, go check out some of the previous podcasts we've done. They're all on Spotify. I put on my Snapchat, my link, everything's like that. And I'm trying, guys, to get it on iTunes as soon as possible. I know a lot of you guys, I'm on iTunes and stuff like that. So I'm going to do my best to get that up there on iTunes. Hopefully this week, if not this week, the next week as well, guys. So I hope you guys definitely can get on there. And do that or whatnot as well. So, like I said, guys, have a great day. Enjoy yourselves. Hope you enjoy the podcast, man. Hey, be blessed.